Welcome to Conversations with Dr. V, the EQ doctor, where we talk all things emotional intelligence. My name is Dr. V. Have you ever had to address the elephant in the room? Maybe you didn't even know there was an elephant. Either way, in this episode, I'm sharing some ways you can recognize when it's there or maybe even prevent it from showing up in the first place. Hey, welcome back. I am so thankful for each and every listener that has shown this series love. Whether it's your first time listening or you've become a regular, if you find value in this podcast, please be sure to take a moment to subscribe. And if you're listening from Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a rating. Okay, let's jump in. I know I mentioned this fictional elephant in the room, but what I'm actually referring to is better related to social awareness. Over the past few episodes, I've really wanted to share with you the basic competencies or skills of emotional intelligence. I think it's important that you have a general knowledge of them so that as I continue to talk across episodes and share other information, that it doesn't feel too much like I'm speaking a language that you don't understand. There are 4 to 5 basic competencies or skills, depending on who you ask. I use the term basic because I'm certified in over 30 emotional intelligence competencies. So as you can see, there's levels to this. And when I'm working with clients, we dig so much deeper to get to the core of self-development. Over the last 2 episodes, I covered self or personal competence, which included self-awareness and self-management. And today I'm sharing with you the first skill in social management. Just like before, it's important to start with the foundation, which is social awareness. Social awareness is the ability to pick up on the emotions of those around you and understand what's going on with them. It also means to care about what others are thinking or feeling, meaning to have empathy. How many of you are parents? Or perhaps you have a significant other. Maybe you've just been in a situation with someone where you cannot figure out what the heck is going on with them. Like, why the attitude, or why you thought they had an attitude and they didn't. Maybe you couldn't figure out what you said or did that upset a person. Maybe you walked into a room and, as the popular saying goes, you could cut the tension with a knife. That's the elephant that I'm referring to. Social awareness often means perceiving what others are thinking or feeling, even if you don't share those same feelings. As humans, it's very easy for us to become self-centered, egocentric, and caught up in our own emotions, so much so that we forget to consider or we even just ignore the perspectives of others. When you're exercising social awareness, you allow yourself to focus and take in critical information that is being delivered through another person's body language and responses. Now, let me clarify that this does not mean that you should try and be a mind reader. You couldn't see me using air quotes for mind reader, but I definitely did. Mind reading is one of the most risky and ineffective things you can do when it comes to relationships. If you don't know what I mean by mind reading, I'm referring to just making some really basic assumptions about a person without having a lot of background. What it does mean, however, is that listening and observing are key actionable steps to social awareness. In order to do these 2 things well, we have to stop doing many of the other things we want or like to do. We have to be quiet once in a while. Yep, sometimes you just have to stop talking. Period. Not only do we have to stop talking out loud, it also means that we may need to disrupt the inner dialogue that often occurs when someone else is talking or exhibiting behavior. It means to stop anticipating the point that someone else is going to make and to stop thinking ahead to what you want to say. It really does take quite a bit of practice to watch people as you interact with them. It's one way to get a good sense of what they are thinking or feeling. How many of you people watch when you're out and about? I, for one, love to people watch when I'm out. I really don't like shopping, but when I have to go to the mall, I love to watch people. I will literally sit on the bench and just watch people. I love to watch their behaviors, and I'm equally as fascinated with trying to make sense of those behaviors. Although I'll always say that asking someone what they are thinking or feeling is the best way to know what someone is thinking or feeling. The truth is that sometimes we work in overdrive to mask our true thoughts and feelings. So this makes the skill of social awareness even more important. To be socially aware, you have to be able to recognize and understand people's emotions while you're in the middle of it. The elephant in the room, and how you are a contributing factor to the interaction. Let me ask you this. Do you have someone in your life that allows, like, they always seem to know exactly what you're thinking or feeling without having said a thing? There are those people who can just read you. More than likely, your emotions are written all over your face in that moment, and this person has paid so much attention to you and your patterns of behavior that they are now able to pick up on changes to your natural responses. These people are socially aware. Maybe you're that person. I would definitely say that I'm that person for most people in my life, whether it be personally or professionally. You may not even know when someone is socially aware because they often pivot in their response or approach based on what they've picked up or sensed from you. Let me see. If I can think of another example. What about a bartender or a waitress that somehow seems to know what patrons want, whether that be what they want to eat or drink, or even the amount of attention they want while they're dining? These people are able to pick on the vibe because they're good at their job, and they're good at their job because they're highly socially aware. It's important to remember that more than likely, they worked hard to acquire this skill, and it took a great deal of practice to improve. Unlike what I discussed in my last two episodes, social awareness isn't about looking inward. It's very much about looking outward to learn more about other people. To build your social awareness ability, you'll need to find yourself observing all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. You'll find yourself observing from afar and the things that are happening right in front of you. You'll learn to pick up on body language, including facial expressions and posture, a person's tone of voice, and all these other variables that may be beneath the surface. I know I've said this already, but I'm going to say it again because it's just that important. Please do not try to be a mind reader. You cannot simply use what you've observed as the end-all, be-all. I'll use myself as an example. 99.9% of the time, my facial expressions and body language do not match my thoughts or emotions. You'll encounter people like me often. Research indicates that when someone's arms are crossed, they may be closed off or unreceptive. Yeah, except that's really not true for someone like me. If you see me with my arms crossed, it's just a habit. Nothing more, nothing less. Or I guess I may be a little chilly since I'm always cold. So if you try to size me up based on that alone, you'd be so very wrong. I want to also add that meanings behind body language can differ across cultures, and this is important to keep in mind as well. Most people would rather you ask how they're feeling or what they're thinking. Now, if any number of the things they say or do don't quite match up, that leaves a great opportunity for you to practice using all of your observations to determine your next steps in that interaction. You are definitely allowed to make mistakes in this. It's going to happen. The great thing is that you have the opportunity to learn from each interaction, whether it's successful or not. Social awareness is a skill that makes you highly employable and a wonderful asset to a friendship circle. If you listen to the last episode, you heard me mention that my goal is to be able to share practical tools and strategies to go along with each episode whenever I can. Be sure to keep listening to the end of this episode to find out where to go to receive your free tool today. Next up, I'm going to share a few strategies that will help you tackle obstacles that get in your way, especially when it comes to identifying or addressing the elephant in the room. The first strategy is to make timing everything. There's a pretty popular phrase out there that says timing is everything, and it really is. This holds true for response timing to other people's emotions. I don't think you would ask for new office equipment right after your supervisor announces a decrease in the budget. I don't think you'd ask for a favor from someone who is upset or angry. At least, I hope not. Some of you are saying, absolutely not, I would never. Now, these are some really clear examples, but there's a lot of what I like to call gray areas where it may not be as easy to gauge what your next step should be. Practicing your timing means working on timing and sensibility and asking the right questions at the right time while keeping your audience in mind the entire time. And by audience, I simply mean the person or people you're speaking to or just the people that are in the room. If you've ever had someone stare at you blankly midway through a conversation, or maybe they abruptly ended the conversation, it could be because you completely missed a very important social cue they gave. You could be asking all of the right questions at the right time for you, but the wrong timing and perhaps the frame of mind of the other party was wrong. Successful interactions require the right conditions for both parties in the moment. As you practice mastering your timing, remember that it's about focusing on others so that ultimately you can be successful. The second tip I want to share is to clear the clutter. To be socially aware, you must be present. And I'm not talking about being present in the physical sense, but in a socially and emotionally way. This means that you will have to remove all those distractions, and distractions can include what's going on in your head. Earlier, I mentioned that it's necessary to stop thinking too far ahead in conversations or situations. Internal distractions are like mind clutter or chatter that generates in our minds. Basically, it's what we do when we talk to ourselves. The internal chats can be counterproductive to building the skill of social awareness. I challenge you to try this, and I do mean actually try this so that you can understand what I'm saying. Try talking to someone and talking to yourself at the same time. Seriously, let me know what you remember most about your interaction, and most likely it'll be very little to nothing. To help you clear out internal clutter when speaking to someone, work on not interrupting the other person until they're just finished, meaning you're not interrupting them at all. Even when you think they're finished, pause. No matter how awkward that may be, this will ensure that you truly let them finish, and it also allows their brains the chance to be sure that they're finished speaking. You may find it helpful to focus on their face as well as their words. Be intentional about your observations. You may also want to shift your body toward the speaker. Not only is this an effective prompt for you to remember to focus, it's also a positive way to show the speaker that you are engaged. The other way you should clear the clutter is to be mindful of physical clutter in your space when engaging with another party. Remove any physical distractions that can take your attention away from the interaction. If you find yourself in a situation where you have to engage in conversation and you have your phone in your hand, consider placing it in your pocket or a bag that you might be carrying, or just push it away so that there are less chances for you to check it mid-conversation. As another example, when I'm in my office and someone comes in during the middle of a project or task, I'll often close the computer if that's what I'm working on, or move papers to the side so that I won't be tempted to disconnect from that person. You will most likely find that these are all simple gestures that will be greatly appreciated by the other party. I'd like to leave you with this gentle reminder. Human nature and behavior are a bit less mysterious or hard to decode than you might have imagined. As you increase your ability to recognize the emotions of others and the shift in mood in group settings, the more skilled you will be in maneuvering through personal and professional scenarios. You may also find yourself on the receiving end of well-deserved advancements in life. If you would like to receive your free tool to accompany this episode, please visit bit.ly/intheroom20. That's bit.ly/intheroom20. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Conversations with Dr. V. In between episodes, you can catch me on social media at default2happy, except for Twitter, where it's at HelloDrV. You can also visit my website at www.default2happy.com. Until next time, be well.